Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Mark Hsu, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Ryan, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 387 of the Trade Addicts podcast. No longer a proud member of the DAP network, but we do a DAP every episode while Frank says a little rhyme that I don't remember. So... So as you can hear, though, Frank is not here tonight. He had some work stuff come up at the last minute because he has a crazy job where he's working all hours of the day. So I brought back with last week. You were just here last week, right, Mike? Last week's guest, Mark Hsu, friend of the show, great Dynasty guy. So, Mark, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. Always happy to be back. Got the call about 2 hours before. And Rocky says, what are we doing tonight? And talking Dynasty sounds good to me. So. And I'm very excited for the guest we have, too.
Yes. As we often say on the show, if you ask to come on, you can come on. You don't have to create content. He is not a content creator, but Ryan, why don't you tell everybody who you are? We always say what you do and where they can find what you do, but I guess basically all they can do is find you on Twitter.
Yes, I'm Ryan. Big Dynasty fan, football fan in general, and I'm a friend of Rocky's. So I was just like, they were like, him and Frank were going through a schedule, and I was like, they're like, Mark, you want to be a guest on this date? And he was like, sure. And I was like, wait, can I be a guest sometime? Haha. And then they were like, sure. So, yeah, that's me. And my Twitter is Ryan, R-Y-A-N, Como, C-O-M-E-A-U-4. So, yeah, that's me.
Yep. And, yeah, Ryan and Mark are both good friends. Actually stayed with them at the expo this year. That's where that conversation Ryan's talking about happened. The three of us and Frank and some other people were hanging out. And we started scheduling people left and right. So,
yeah.
So let's get right into the show. Since you are a first-time guest, which I feel like we haven't had in a while, you get our nice little interview. So, Ryan, how long have you been playing fantasy?
I've been playing fantasy since 2012, I think, or maybe 2013, one of those years. We had a class in high school called sports, like the psychology of sports, and it was basically just so the teacher could like watch football highlights and we could also.
Sounds like my kind of class.
Yes. So we actually started a league like the next year with him in it, like the teacher and just like all of us that were in the class. And it was really fun. I remember in 2013, it was either my first or second year, I had like the Peyton Manning, Julius Thomas, Wes Welker, like all of them, that whole stack. So I was, yeah, that was a good year for me.
That was a fun time. when did you get into Dynasty?
Around 2018, I think. A lot different back then, I would say. My first Dynasty league was on like Flea Flicker. So,
Oh god, Flea Flicker's awful.
It was.
But yeah, that's around the time I got really into it. I played it like in home leagues for a couple of them for like 3 or 4 years before that. But then when I found Dynasty Twitter. And
yeah,
exactly. Podcasts like this and Trade Addicts leagues and all that, then that's when I got into like 30, 40 leagues. So right around that time. And it's funny because I was talking with someone about this recently, like 2018, I remember it was like my first online startup and Superflex. I don't think I'd ever played Superflex before then. And it was definitely, it was not, it was like maybe three quarterbacks in the first round. And then like within like 3 or 4 years, we were drafting like 10 quarterbacks in the first round. And I feel like it's starting to trend back the other way that we're kind of coming like back now. Down on the quarterbacks again. Yeah. It's more like half and half. If you do a startup or something like that.
I was just going to say, cause the thing was like, you get two like really elite quarterbacks and then you're just set. But then there was like a year where quarterbacks didn't do that well and like streaming quarterbacks were a thing. So now, yeah, I think it's a mix of both, because I remember when people were saying Patrick Mahomes, you got him for the next 12 years and he's locked and loaded. And then last year's fantasy year kind of sucked. So it's, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been the elite quarterback guy, as most people listen to this podcast now. So, but we got more questions for you. Best trades, worst trade. Which one do you want to do first?
I will do my best trades first. I was, just looking at it. I mean, these aren't, well, I'll do my worst trade first. And it was, I can't remember what the exact trades were, but I was really like buying the Travis Fulgham thing. I'm pretty sure I paid
former Eagle Travis Fulgham.
Yep. I'm pretty sure I paid a first for him. So that's tough. Rough. but I would say, May of last year, I'm looking at my sleeper. I got Joe Flacco and Amon-Ra St. Brown for Tank Dell and 2 firsts, which isn't like amazing, but it's Amon-Ra, and I feel like, you know, 2 firsts is great. And then this year, I traded, well, it's kind of just better in hindsight given how the start of the season's played out, but I got CMC, Igbuka, and Mayfield, and I traded Rashad White a first and 2/3 and Jaden Daniels, which Jaden Daniels is an elite asset, but given how the season's turned out so far and I'm competing, I was like, I got 30 from Igbuka, 30 from McCaffrey this week, like 25 from Baker. So
I'm three great.
Jaden Daniels kind of sophomore slump. So
yeah, I think if you're trading Daniels, that's a pretty good haul to get back. Especially Igbuka, the Igbuka part is looking really nice.
I love him.
And what's a guiding principle you have in trading?
I was thinking about this. I would say that I think the trade is a good trade if it hurts. because I didn't want to trade away Jaden Daniels, but like it hurt me physically, but it's worked out. So I think in order to get like the really good trades done, you gotta do it. Like it's gotta be a gut punch of some sort. You can't really swindle people anymore. Back when I first started Dynasty, there, you could swindle people, but people have gotten smarter.
Yeah, agreed. People are way too savvy now. And there's like a million podcasts like this out there that people are listening to. If they don't know enough on their own.
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. So let's get into the news. As always, Frank, even when he does not show up, provides us with the news. Ryan, he divided it up into positive and negative. So do you want to start with the negative stuff or the positive stuff?
Sure. I'll start with the positive stuff, I guess.
Okay. Joe Flacco to the Bengals. Frank says our nightmare is over because of the Jake Browning era. It's been awful for, although I just, Chase had a good game this past week, but it was looking really, really bad. And he's expected to be ready to play for the Packers game this week, averaged 40 passes a game this season, and 50 passes a game when he took over for Cleveland in 2023. And 31 last year when he didn't start all the games, but he says the Bengals never called about Jameis, which is very sad for us in fantasy land. Everybody would have loved Jameis, so but Jamar Chase and Higgins. So, Mark, what do you think of this? Do you think this is going to be an uptick for Chase and Higgins? I feel like people were viewing it that way, but Flacco was also looking really bad in Cleveland. So,
yeah, I mean, it's nice to know that you have like a veteran there, but I don't know. I feel like for the most part, you're really just banking on the talent of like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins to win out more so than you're banking on the quarterback at this point. Like the situation is pretty screwed for you just because you lost Burrow in the first place. So getting Flacco, I think, is fine. Like, I think it could be a better setup. I think it's a change of pace, and ultimately, you know, I think he could support a guy like at least like Chase and probably Higgins too. Like if they're getting open, I think he's going to be able to get them the ball. So I would say it's fine. The O-line is still horrendous. And he's not going to have a lot of time to throw. But also, I mean, like maybe that's just where the, that extra veteran starter instinct maybe helps, you know, helps a little bit more. So I'm optimistic, but I'm not, you know, expecting much better than what we've had.
What about you, Ryan? I don't think this means any, like, I don't think anybody's going out and rushing to get Flacco. But so it's mainly, is this enough of an upgrade that we, not that you were going to sell Chase or Higgins, but that we can have more confidence starting Chase and Higgins?
Yeah. I would think so, just because the volume is going to be there. They're going to throw a lot. And Jake Browning is just awful. And Flacco isn't great either, but he's unafraid to air it out, I would say. Like, so
we could see some Chase Brown love too, I think, a little bit more than we have been seeing, just like dump off passes and stuff like that. I could see, especially because we're still expecting he'll probably have to get the ball out kind of fast, that maybe some Chase Brown dump offs are in the cards, that he has. He's been underperforming, obviously, because the team has been underperforming, right? So hopefully that might just help buoy him into something that's, you know, confidence RB2, you know?
Right. And yeah, and I think we see, I mean, it was already coming around a little bit with Browning this past week. I think that we do see something a little better with Flacco. Again, he was not doing great in Cleveland, at least from a real life perspective. It's not like he was putting up a ton of fantasy points either. I do think, though, like you said, the line is bad, so that worries me a lot. But I do think maybe being the veteran that he could get it out a little faster, even if it ends up because he throws a few picks sometimes getting it out faster, maybe he doesn't take quite as many sacks as Browning would. So I think there's hope. And like I said, it was already starting to come around a little bit. Maybe that was just a function of the defense they were playing this week. But maybe it was just things going a little better in the post-Burrow portion of this season. So we'll see how it goes. I would definitely prefer a Winston or a Cousins too, but apparently the Bengals didn't want to pay that, I'm guessing, or those teams didn't want to let them go. But, well, I assume they would have let Winston go, but not maybe they were asking too much for Kirk. That's the one I was hoping for, was Kirk Cousins, but Winston would have been fun too. But anyway, the negative portion of the news was that Omarion Hampton is put on IR with an ankle injury. We'll miss at least 4 games. We can't have nice things, apparently. Everybody's getting hurt. I don't know that there's much. I mean, I guess the only thing to talk about here, or do you have any interest at all in, Ryan, in the running backs that are going to be coming in for at least a month or so?
Hassan Haskins and Kamani Vidal. I don't know. I read something where Kamani Vidal was like back on the practice squad, but he'll probably be promoted again now. So like, these are not talented running backs. And for all those people saying that Harbaugh like just only runs, like, they've been throwing a lot. So
yes.
I don't really have much interest in them. I mean, in seasonal leagues, you're going to pick them off the waiver wire if you can, but like, yeah, I'm not paying more than a fourth for them or third. Yeah. Like, I don't know, but nah.
Yeah, this is more just a note about, you know, we talk about all the major news, and Hampton getting injured is major news, but he has looked really good, so hopefully it is just the 4 weeks. But I mean, it's basically probably just going to be a committee of very mediocre backs, so honestly this might just help them pass a little more and be good for Herbert and Johnston and Allen, if anything,
get McConkey going.
McConkey. I've never been a McConkey believer. I think we talked about this last week, Mark. So I'll ask, right? Didn't we talk about McConkey last week a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ryan, what are your thoughts on McConkey in general? Like, me and Mark, I think we're both lower on McConkey's, not just because of the season. Like, we weren't believers coming into the season as much.
I was a truther coming into the season. but. I didn't expect for Quentin Johnson to take that huge leap that he has. Been very surprising, but I think he has good games ahead of him. But I Yeah, there was a high ceiling that I was anticipating for him because he did have such a good season last year. But yeah, it's hasn't panned out so far. But he's a stable floor, I think. But yeah, that ceiling that I anticipated is not there. And just the touchdowns, like QJ and Keenan Allen are gobbling up the touchdowns yep. there. Herbert's running a lot. It's crazy, but.
Yeah. So the rest of the news, I'm just going to run through everything Frank has on here, and then we can maybe just talk about if there's anything that sticks out that we want to talk about. Sorry, actually, Mark.
Before we go on, Amari Hampton, the bye week is in week 12. So with this IR news, that's week 6, 7, 8, 9. He's out. We're looking at 10 and 11. Do we think he comes back before the bye, or are we thinking that maybe it might be a little longer?
I hope it's not till after week 12.
I'm just kind of putting it out there that it can, you know, it not saying you necessarily need to get out, especially if like you're a team that's not contending, you want that for the future. But like, if you need somebody on your team for the stretch run, it's something that maybe people need to consider. I don't know if you're going to get the fair price for him, though, is a real problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he probably, with the bye that late, I think he probably, if he can, you know, I don't know how, you know, what the extent of the injury is and if it's something he should be back in 4 weeks or not. But I mean, I don't think they just do it just to be safe. I think at that point, I mean, maybe, what are they got two losses now? Maybe if they're like 9-2 or something at that point, maybe. But
I mean, their offensive line is really banged up right now too, is like the other thing. And I think obviously we're going to see a lot more slinging it from Justin Herbert, which, I don't know, dynasty value. I don't really think, but like in deep leagues, like I kind of think like throwing a dollar on like Nyheim Hines might be the play if he ends up getting some work there Los Angeles, you know, not that I think it's amazing, but like he's got a pass catching profile. It's been a while, but like, I don't think we're looking at anything special from Hassan Haskins. You see a little bit more from Kamani Vidal, but I don't know how much trust they have there. So I'm kind of interested to see. Sometimes when you have these injuries, you see these guys that they pull off of the couch and all of a sudden just have that value right off the bat. And so maybe as a pass catcher might be worth speculating if you have the space. But yeah, no, I would be kind of worried just because, again, like the line is not great. I think they're not, you know, their running game theoretically probably isn't going to be very good for the next few weeks. So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to see where their team is going to go through all this, because I think that's going to probably define a lot about if he's going to play those next, on top of health, those two games before the bye.
Yeah, that, like I said, that's what I was saying. Like, it could depend upon record.
Nyheim Hines is still in the league.
I was going to say, I'm not going to lie.
I'm not saying he's like. I'm just saying, like, as a somebody who's coming off, you know, coming in and maybe being, you know, thrust into a role, I don't see like Hassan.
Did they just sign him, or was he on their roster?
They just signed him to the practice squad today, which basically means he's being elevated, just based on how everybody's gone at this point.
Yeah. Okay, so the other little news tidbits, Tyreek Hill is expected to be released by Dolphins at the end of the season. Antonio Gibson tore his ACL and is out for the season. Shedeur Sanders will play at some point this season. I assume somebody in Cleveland said that for Frank to put it on here. Bengals have left the door open for a QB change. I assume that was put on before the trade. Brock Bowers week to week. Purdy suffered a setback after week 4. Could miss more weeks. Bucky Irving also dealing with a shoulder injury that could make him miss multiple weeks. I love that. I have like a million Bucky Irving shares. Being on crutches with a shoulder injury sounds painful, Frank says. And then Brenton Strange to IR, another hit to the tight end position. Any of these little news and notes bits, anything stick out to you, Ryan, worth talking about?
No, I mean, I kind of expected Tyreek Hill to get, I don't know, traded, released, whatever. Yeah, Antonio Gibson, I mean, maybe good for Travion Henderson, because he's not gotten in very much.
No.
Bucky Irving, very sad, because we all love him. But Rashad White is, you know, he's a must start now, I think.
He's looking good. It's funny. I went into the week with asking some people, should I start Rashad White or Woody Marks? Thankfully, I started Rashad White. Because after the big week, Woody Marks had the week before. He's looking really good. Anything else that you want to comment on there, Mark, before we move on?
No, not a ton. I mean, it's kind of a shame to see Purdy have a setback, but I mean, Mac Jones has been dealing for San Francisco. It's that team is so interesting. They have like nobody healthy, and they just put like and a whole still, a new yeah. new other team in, out there, and they're doing just fine. So like it's been really interesting. It's, I mean, I think this really is pretty great for Mac Jones's dynasty value. He's probably going to get a shot somewhere, like
you would next think,
year, yeah. right? So I mean, like
he's played well.
Buy Mac Jones for me, maybe.
He might be making himself some money next year. Maybe he can at least be a, you know, coming in for. I'm totally blanking on what the term. Oh, bridge quarterback. That's what I was trying to say. At the very least, I could see that for a rookie coming in next year, like one of the teams that has a real bad record and drafts one of the rookies. Kyle Shanahan just seems to bring him in and makes it work. It's kind of funny, too, with the whole, like, you remember back when he was drafted, he was supposedly wanted Mac Jones and ended up drafting Trey. And now he's finally got Mac Jones and he actually is playing well.
It's got to be so hot for Shanahan right now. I know. He's living out his ultimate fantasy from however many years ago. Yeah.
Literally.
So Ryan, normally we give the guests the option of the trades or the listener questions, but tonight we have no listener questions. So this is going to be a short show, people, potentially very short, because we only have a handful of trades too, but, we can probably yap about them for a little bit. So, we'll start with the trades. Reminder, all TradeX leagues are 12-team PPR Superflex 1.75 tight end premium with 0.054 return yards, except for TA1, but there are no TA1 trades this week. So I'll start off with a trade that happened today in TA3. I'm definitely going to let Ryan go first on this because it was made between me and Frank, and Mark is also in TA3. So we'll let Ryan talk about it first, and then we'll talk about it. But it is Travis Etienne for Woody Marks, a 26-second and a 27-second.
So you're not going to say who's on which side. I think
not until after you say what you think.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'll probably take the Etienne side, but I mean, Woody Marks can definitely have some good weeks. And I think it depends. If you're contending, I would take the ETN side, and if not, I would take the Woody Marks side, I think.
And this was definitely, as you can guess, a contending rebuilding situation. I'll let Mark go first, then I'll just get into what me and Frank were thinking here.
There's not enough track record on Woody Marks that really he moves the needle for me yet, especially after this week, obviously kind of just coming back down to earth. And you know, I don't like picks at all. So, I'm not even a really big Travis Etienne fan, but I feel like, you know, it's kind of right. And if I were contending and needed a running back, I think I'd probably be fine to pay it. Cause ultimately, if you look at these two assets, I think Etienne has a more assured future in the next year or two down the line as well.
Yeah.
Not 2 years, but.
So in TA3, I am, to me, surprisingly contending this year. I am 4-1. I think it's like just about tied for second in points, which I was not expecting. I thought my team was going to be a little more middling. I think I even went into the, No, maybe I didn't. Maybe that was the year before. I think last year I went into a dispersal, second chance dispersal, because I know I wasn't in the dispersal with Mark this year. You came in this year, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I came out with, I kind of went in with a middling team, came out with sort of a middling team and kind of been making little moves here and there. Did draft Tyler Warren, but most of my team is kind of a little older from that dispersal still. And I didn't think it was going to be that good, but my love for Dobbins and Javonte Williams is really paying off for one thing, because those are my main two running backs. And now that I'm contending, I thought I just wanted another piece that I could start, because I think I traded Bijan off this roster because I did not think it was going to be that good. And it might have, I don't know if it was this roster or another TA. I think it was this roster, and I got like T. Higgins plus some like a first and something else. I think I can't remember what it was exactly. So, yeah, I'm the one that got ETN. Again, I don't necessarily need a running back. I just want kind of another startable piece. He's up until this week, he'd been a solid, like, you know, 15-ish a game guy. And I feel like that's going to continue. I'm also not the biggest Lawrence fan, but they're doing well. And I think because I don't expect Lawrence to pass, but like, more in the running game. So and I didn't want to pay up any, like, I didn't want to pay a lot for anything. I don't have a lot of young assets. I don't have my 26 first. I do have my 27 first, but I kind of didn't want to move it first. So I tried to like cobble what I did have. I have like 3 27 seconds and 26 seconds. So I threw some seconds in the one young player on my roster to try to see what I would get. And Frank accepted it almost like immediately. I figured Woody Marks' value went up after last week, even after coming back down this week. So I kind of almost looked at it like maybe Frank would view it as like 3 seconds or something like that. Because, you know, there was probably Woody Marks hype even before he did anything 2 weeks ago. So I figured with that, it might be good time to sell him anyway. So that's basically where the trade was from my point of view. So we'll see how it goes. Okay, all the rest of our trades are in TA8. I'm going to go in reverse order of how they are on the sheet, because two of these are kind of small trades. But we didn't have a lot, so I just threw them on there. The first one I'm going to get to is 26 third and 226 fourths for Juwan Johnson. I know this is not an exciting trade. I mostly just wanted to throw it out there just like to talk about Juwan Johnson a little bit, and it's been interesting his start to the year. He has tailed off the last couple weeks, but like, nobody was expecting like literally anything, I think, from Juwan Johnson this year. And then he just became this sort of like almost must start after 3 weeks, and then kind of became Juwan Johnson again for the last couple. So what do you think, Ryan? Are you still interested in, again, remember it is 1.75 tight end premium
too. Yeah.
Still interested in Juwan Johnson as a cheap contending piece, like getting him at a price like this?
Yeah. I definitely would. If you need tight end help, trade a third and 2 fourths for Juwan Johnson. Those are not very valuable picks.
And do you think what we see in the last couple weeks is going to be more what we get, or more what we got the first 3 weeks?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, Taysom Hill is back now, so that could throw a wrench in things. But you could do worse, I guess, for that.
What about you, Mark?
I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. I think, you know, as the team did win this week. So, or yeah, they did win. They beat the Giants this week. So yeah. Like they could be at least still feeling competitive. And I think as long as that's the case, maybe so. I don't know. It's Juwan Johnson. So I'm like fine with it if he's scoring points, but it's a tight end position. And while Frank is not here, I'm going to hold strong on tight end doesn't matter. So like for cost, yeah, it's great. I don't know if I really want to trade a lot of cap. I mean, like, I don't want to trade a lot of capital now that there's a lot of capital for a tight end. I'm not really that way, but if you're contending and you need the depth, I think it's fine. Like as a cheap guy that you can add into like your dynasty stream of tight ends. I think it's fine.
Yeah, and just to kind of get into more specifically, because I pulled up on trade addict scoring, the first 3 weeks he had 21, 20, and 15 essentially, taking out the decimals. And then it was below, it was single digits both of the last 2 weeks. He also had 28 targets the first 3 weeks and then only 7 the last two. Now, I never know how much to put stock to put into put these numbers that MFL puts here. It does say the rank versus tight end is top 10 for the last two teams he's played and bottom half of the league for the other three. So that could be a factor that these two teams just happen to particularly cover the tight end well. And if you do look at his schedule, again, if MFL's like opponent rank is correct, a lot of the rest of them are bottom half against tight end teams. So could pick it up. I don't know if anything's changed the pay other than, like you said, Taysom Hill did come back. But yeah. I don't think he was involved that much. But in terms of the rest of the receiving core, I don't think a lot has changed that would have affected the last 2 weeks. So maybe it is just matchup based. And again, not that he's a stud, but like you're getting 15, 19, 20 point weeks from a guy you paid a third and 2/4 for. I'm down for that.
I think the main thing for me that makes it difficult is like, he's not like, is he, or he seems like he was the top target earner those weeks, but like you, I guess you look at a guy like Shaheed and a guy like, Olave. Wow. I wanted to say Godwin, but Olave, sorry, Olave. That probably should be getting targets ahead of him. Kamara should be getting targets ahead of him, although he's been kind of slow. So maybe that's kind of like where we're seeing some of that. This team was competitive the first 2 weeks of the year last year and then completely fell off a cliff. So it's like hard to, for me, it's kind of hard to trust. And especially like, because you're mostly what you're doing here is you're trusting like the third target of Spencer Rattler, which is, or the second 2.5 target of Spencer Rattler. So it's kind of like,
you're also paying very little for that, though.
You are. No, I agree with that. And it's fine. Again, like as a depth stream tight end for your roster, I think it's fine.
And I think also, like, I think the likelihood is that it falls somewhere in between the first 3 weeks and the last 2 weeks. Like you said, he got less targets the last 2 weeks combined than he had in each individual of the first three games. So and he's probably not going to score 16 points every week, which is his lowest output those first 3 weeks, even with better tight end matchups. So it probably falls somewhere in the middle where he'll probably be 10 to 13 a lot of weeks, especially with the 1.75 premium, with maybe some spike weeks. That's probably what you get going for it. But again, for a third and 2/4, I think that's fine. The next one is also more of a minor trade. Kyle Williams and a 26-second for Keon Coleman. Again, nothing major going on here, but we did not have a lot of trades this week. I'm not really much of a Keon Coleman believer. I know he did have a touchdown this past week. But Ryan, what do you think of this one? I think personally, I'd rather have the second, and not that I care that much about Kyle Williams, but I'd rather have the second alone.
Yeah, I would agree, just because Keon Coleman, he's never going to move the needle, I don't think, ever. If he's not doing it now with, like, little competition in front of him. I mean, he's going to have his weeks. Like, maybe in best ball I'd keep him over a second, but I don't know. I think a second is good for him, and I guess Kyle Williams is fine, too.
yeah, and people are looking, like, low-key, their best receiver has probably been Kincaid. At least for fantasy over the first month.
Oh yeah, it has been Dalton. Yeah. Okay. Did you realize that, Ryan?
Yeah, I realize that. Hunter Henry's still good too, so I'm not.
So fun fact: Ryan and I went to the opening game for the Patriots and Raiders. I think I brought this up last week when we were talking about Brock Bowers. But so we ended up watching the Sunday night football game together. And we, for whatever reason, we're out in Boston and we're talking about fantasy and our tight ends. And I asked a Bills fan about Dalton Kincaid, and Ryan basically threw a whole bunch of shade.
Okay.
And then he has that, then he had that monster first game. Oh, not monster first game, but he had that touchdown in the first game, and he's been like a top three tight end this year, I think.
On that TA3 team that's helping me win because he's been so much better than I expected.
So it's been really fun rubbing it in Ryan's face for the last 5 weeks. Just any time that Dalton Kincaid does anything good.
Okay, but Hunter Henry is also very good, so don't even.
That's I mean, that's fine, but he's I didn't throw dirt on Hunter Henry's name like Mr. Kincaid.
Okay. Anyway, so Mark, what do you think? Do you care about Keon Coleman at all in this trade?
not really. And honestly, I feel like unless he like lights it up from here on out, his dynasty value at the end of the year is probably taking a hit from this no matter what. I think perception wise, if we're getting more of the same after 2 years, I think people are just going to get tired and kind of want to move on. And you'll probably get him for just the second and not Kyle Williams. Not that, again, yeah, that's a big piece of the trade, but you might not get that 2 second plus that you would for Keon Coleman now. So, I mean, again, he's young, so you can still see it happen. But like ultimately, you don't see him, do a lot after the catch. He's a go up and get it guy. He kind of can, catch a ball like when it's a 50-50, but they don't need that all the time. And honestly, like I just feel like he's not, he's not doing that much other than, making a catch in the end zone, which is nice, but again, it's really pretty unpredictable. So yeah, I think I'd say it's probably fine for him right now.
Okay. And that brings us to our final trade of the week, also in TA8. This one actually has some at least more point scoring players and one with some dynasty value that we talked about earlier, which is Matthew Stafford and Woody Marks for the one, the only, the guy who's been talked about maybe more than anybody on the last 2 weeks of this podcast, Ladd McConkey and Alec Ayamanner. I have no idea if I said that right. But
it's close enough.
Okay. I never have heard his name actually pronounced, so I don't know if that's correct or not. But anyway,
I think it's Ayamanner or something.
I'm not sure. But whatever it is, that's who was in the trade. I think everyone knows who we're talking about. So Ryan, what are your thoughts on this one?
Ayamanner is actually really good. I don't understand what that is.
Early on, yeah. Especially in a very bad offensive environment.
And Matthew Stafford, I don't know how long he has left. He's playing well, but I feel like you could find even a Joe Flacco that could put up, some sort of, I think I would take the Ladd. So I think Ladd is due for some big games. And I mean, we just talked about Woody Marks, but I think Adam Manor might be the more valuable asset at this point, which is crazy.
What about you, Mark, as a fellow Ladd non-supporter?
So, well, to be fair, I'm pretty sure I said last week that I thought his price where he was going kind of before the season was fair enough, but still probably.
Yeah, you were definitely more pro Ladd.
I was kind of more towards that the price is probably right, but it was like hard to pay it. I love Stafford. We were talking about Stafford last week and just how much, I just love what they're doing over with the Rams in general. And he's been dealing, I think I don't know exactly what the scoring is, but in some of my leagues, I know that he's like QB1 basically right now on his scoring over the past few weeks. I still think this is kind of a little disrespectful to like a Ladd McConkey trade. So I think I'd still take the Ladd Ayamanner side if I were like looking for future value. I imagine this seems like a very needs-based trade though. Like this seems like a guy who's got an embarrassment of riches at wide receiver that is probably contending and needs an upgrade at quarterback and maybe an extra running back depth piece. So I think it's probably serving the two people that are getting this deal done probably pretty well for what they're looking for. I think it's probably an overpay for Stafford, but I'm not going to complain because, again, I love Stafford. And he's like the best QB2 you could ask for, like based on what you expected of him this past, you know, this offseason.
Yeah, I was looking while you were talking. He is QB5 on the season overall. So in trade out of scoring. So Stafford is doing very well. But even with that, and even with me not loving Ladd, I feel like this is definitely not enough to sell Ladd. If you have, no. I have no Ladd McConkey shares. But I mean, before the season, this is basically like Stafford's worth at best a second, I think, even coming into the season. No one's paying a first for Matthew, even though he's a starting quarterback because he's just too old. Maybe 2 seconds. So
all the news, there was no way, like with him having, you know, going into that, whatever that chamber that he had on the sideline at practice.
Yeah.
And having all these bats, you know, like there was no way you were getting more than a second for Stafford.
Maybe you get an extra 2 seconds or a second and something like a Woody Marks, you know, even before the season. So Woody Marks was drafted in like the fourth round before the season, and maybe his value has gone up a little bit. But to me, this is basically like a 2 or 3 at most seconds value for Ladd McConkey and Iyo Manor together, which is kind of insane. Not that Iyo Manor is like a huge, huge piece of what we were just talking about. He's been a little bit of a pleasant surprise, especially when you consider how bad the Titans passing game has been. As much as I would like to say I want the Stafford side as the guy who likes old productive quarterbacks and doesn't like Ladd McConkey, the value is just too much on that other side.
It hurts me too, Rock. You know how I feel about this trade right now. So,
okay. So after that painful trade to talk about, as I said, we have no listener questions. People, if you're listening, please ask us listener questions on Twitter next week. Dynastud, where are you? He's our guy who throws like 6 questions at us every week. But Frank threw as we always do. Russ used to do it when he put out the tweet. Frank always puts some question at the end of the tweet. And this was about a little early, I think, since it's only October 7th. But he was asking people, what is your favorite Halloween/horror movie? And before I ask you guys, we are going to finish up with this little bit of movie talk. But Frank, Russ, and Joey Wright all had answered. So I'm just going to give their answers. Frank had said, I am basic. Hocus Pocus is my favorite Halloween movie, and I'm too much of a coward for horror movies.
That's crazy.
The only horror movie I have seen is The Stranger, so I guess that's my favorite horror if I had one.
Okay, hold on, because it ties. Okay, so yeah, actually, The Strangers is probably like, it's my favorite horror movie in the sense that like it really scared me like to my core, because it's a little too realistic. If you want like there's like a little bit of like parody in horror. There's no parody in this. This can happen to you. And it's kind of terrifying. So for me, it's, if I really want to get scared, it's that movie. And actually, I really like the sequel that they have for The Strangers as well. That is my favorite. I have others. I'll stop and you can go back to what you're talking about. But just because Frank said that, I had to just connect with him immediately.
No problem. Russ also says he's a scaredy cat and doesn't do horror movies, but his favorite Halloween movie is Night Before Christmas and says it's both a Halloween and a Christmas movie. And then Joey Wright says his favorite Halloween movie is Trick or Treat. I don't know what that is. Super fun connected anthology. His favorite horror movie is probably Rosemary's Baby. So Ryan, do you have a favorite Halloween and or horror movie?
I am actually a huge fan of horror movies. They're definitely my favorite genre. I loved Weapons from earlier this year and Sinners, if that counts. I think it does. And I would say my favorite is probably Scream. Just because like, I think it's the one I've watched the most times and it's just funny and I don't know. It's also scary low key. And all the sequels, I keep up with them. Also like Exorcist, amazing movie. Halloween, great movie. I could go on, but yeah, I love horror movies.
Yeah, Scream is one of the few I've seen the entire franchise. I've seen all 7 of those. I believe, or is it six or seven? Is seven coming out? I think I know there's a new one that they're working on.
Yeah, it's coming out.
I think it's six eventually. The currently and seven is coming out. I think that's what it is. So I've seen six. I haven't seen seven. And then the other one that I've seen almost, I haven't actually seen the last couple, the ones that I think it's the Saw franchise. I love the Saw franchise. And a kind of part of what I love about that is I don't think it's super scary necessarily. I know it's gory. I'm not even into all the gore and all that stuff. I kind of just like they have like the mythology of the whole thing. There's everything like connects to if you watch it. It's just kind of fun. Like, and it's, even some of the goriness is just sort of ridiculousness. It's like, it's just, I don't know. I just get a kick out of it.
Rocky loves the lore. He's here
the lore. That's what it is. It's the lore. Seriously, though, that is part of what I like about it a lot. And like I said, a lot of the goriness is over the top. It's kind of like ridiculous. But especially as the movies go on, they get worse and worse as they go on, and yet I still enjoy them. But yeah, I haven't seen the last, like, I think Saw 10 and or X or whatever it is, and like there's Spiral or something before that I didn't see, but it's almost the other ones. So, Mark, were there any other movies you wanted to mention?
I'm definitely going to stand Scream with all of you. That's one of my favorite franchises. I just like the slashers for the most part. Like I probably also kind of why I like The Stranger so much, but like, I also just love like classic Halloween. The Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, those kind of movies. Especially because like just that, you know, it's such a classic. It's that classic horror movie, kind of feel for all of them that I like about it. So those kind of franchises I really like. New things that I feel like I've seen, I liked Barbarian from last year. That was pretty good. Honestly, I'm about to get into my scary movie watch for the season, so I'm kind of looking this one up. I just played a reality game where they've been talking about Ma, which I haven't seen, and they'd probably kill me if they heard this and heard that I hadn't seen it. But I can't wait to go watch Ma because I've heard that's a pretty good one. So I mean, really excited for a few more. So if anyone has recommendations, I'm willing to take them.
Okay, and on that note, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Ryan, Martin, well, Mark, too, I want to thank you both for coming on tonight, especially with the last-minute notice, Mark. But Ryan, why don't you just remind everyone who you are and where they can find you on Twitter.
I am Ryan. I am not a content creator, but I'm a friend of these two lovely, handsome gentlemen. And you can find me on Twitter at RyanComeo4, RyanCO. COMEAU4.
Okay, Ryan successfully spelled his name. And Mark, I guess do you want to plug your Twitter or anything else before we start our stuff here at the end?
Primetime Mock on Blue Sky and Twitter if you're looking for me, for sure. I think Ryan's being a little modest. He is a content creator for you, Rocky, for the Fantasy Football Survivor season 10 recap show. Rocky will never talk about himself about this, and I am always willing to just drag it out anytime I'm on here that he's gives me a minute. He puts on one of the best leagues there is, and that's Fantasy Football Survivor. You should apply next year and play. You know, now we're doing regular recap shows for the two seasons. Rocky's doing one set, and then me and Ryan are doing the other. So you can kind of check out what's going on the server on Discord. I'm sure Rocky will send it to you. Find me. I'll send it to you. I don't care. You can check out us as we recap the week and check out basically everything that's going on in player confessionals and tribe chats and everything that's going on there. So it's a really fun time, and it's becoming a really, you know, large and tight community.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, basically it's almost like we're doing a little podcast every week for what happens in those games. So it's a lot of fun. I don't generally like go out of my way to promote it on here, but if you're interested in something a little different next year, definitely apply. We always want more people to apply. But with finished with our stuff here, if you like what you heard and you want to see our beautiful faces, you can sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can see Mark, you can see Ryan, you can see me, and mostly, usually you can see Frank, just not tonight. So you also get the access to the Discord, the Cool Kids Club, lots of great people in there talking trades. There's action in there almost every day, just polls and who, you know, which side do you have, all that kind of stuff. A lot of good trade talk. And then, as always, support Fantasy Cares, recap shows for SFB on Tuesdays, trivia Tuesday nights, Wednesday night hangout. Frank could go into more detail than I could about it, but they're always doing good stuff over there. And I think that's about it. So good night, everybody.
Night, Rocky. Night, Ryan. Night.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.